To what do I owe the pleasure of your company? That's pretty cool.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Right. Things can get a bit weird. Ooh. If you like that sort of thing.
To what do I owe the pleasure?
Whatever.
To what do I owe the pleasure of your company? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam, and thank you for the pleasure of your company. That took a lot out of me. That's it. That's all I got. How are you today? Don't respond. I can't hear you. Technology has not come that far yet. Yeah, social media, we can talk back and forth by typing stuff in, but as far as this is concerned, I can't hear you. I don't really care to. Well, it's a good day today, huh? You know, when you wake up in the morning and you say to yourself, I'm going to make this a great day, you're kidding yourself. Because you can't make it a great day. It's not about you, you idiot. No, it's not. You can't sit there and say, I'm going to have a great day today. You don't know that. You can do everything you can in your power to do things right, to get things done. But there's other people on the planet that are going to try to stop you. Well, I'm going to make a phone call and I'm going to take care of this problem immediately with this company. And you call up the company and, hey, please hold. You'll be the 25,000th caller because the lines are busy right now. But please hold. Your call is important to us. Apparently not. Apparently you can't hire enough people to take the calls. So it's not that important to you. And then you start getting frustrated. Well, I'm going to take care of the problem. I'm going to get a nice customer service person, and we're going to work things out. And then the customer service person comes on the phone and says, no, I'm sorry, you can't. We can't do that. No, we can't. No, you made a mistake. You can't do this. You can't. And your day isn't going so great. Do you know why? Because it takes two to tango. Tango is a dance, by the way, for those of you that may not be familiar. So you can make it as great a day as you want to, but it ain't going to happen necessarily. I've told the story so many times and I'm getting sick of it, but I'll tell you again because you probably don't listen every day. I'll never forget this. I will never, ever forget this. I was walking the streets of Boston. I am a street walker by trade. I'm walking the streets of Boston and there's people. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, people walking around. It's lunchtime. It's a weekday and I'm walking around. I'm just doing my thing. I'm just walking. And this lovely, lovely young lady is walking in the opposite direction toward me, and I'm walking in her direction. And this happens 1,000 times when you're walking the streets of a city. But for some odd reason, this woman, as we're about to pass, looks up at me, and I, of course, look up at her. She gives me a smile, but a very engaging smile, directly at me. And then she keeps walking and walks by. And she kind of, you can see her mutter through her lips the word, hi. But she just keeps on walking. And I nod a little bit as I'm passing her, and I keep on walking. Not a word was spoken. We didn't stop. We kept going. And that was it. That was it. But for some reason, that launched my day. It made me feel like I had a personal interaction with somebody without interacting. What a perfect situation. But it made me feel good for the rest of the day. Two people acknowledged each other, that they were both on the planet, passing each other by, and that was enough. That was enough. Of course, little fantasies go through your head right after that happens, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the innocence of two people walking by, acknowledging each other, giving a smile and a wink, and then keeping on going. It's magical. It was magical. Did everything during that day fall into place now as a magical moment? No. Stuff happened that wasn't good after that. But didn't matter. Because there was a balance now. And I don't do motivational speaking because I can't even motivate myself. So I don't do that. But I do what I just did. I just point out these tiny, little, meaningless interactions that go nowhere, but they're significant because they make us feel good. And perception is 99% of the law. It's not a legal term. I made that up. Perception is everything. The way you perceive something is everything. It may not be what really is, but it doesn't matter because it's the way you perceive it. Now I sound like a college professor, and I hated college. College made no sense. If you're a parent and you're paying for your kid to go to college, just give them $100 and tell them to go out and get drunk, because it's the same damn thing. College is nothing but a breeding place to act like an asshole. That's all it is. Do you think your kid goes to classes and learns anything? No. No. Oh, sure, they'll tell you that at the school. But most of the time, your kid is sitting in the room getting high in the corner and not being able to move his ass or her ass off the floor. And other kids come into the college dorm room and they smoke with them and they party and they drink and they jump out the window and they steal goats from the local farm. And that's about it. That's about it. You might as well just go into your checkbook, write out a check for $200,000, give it to the university, they say, thank you, here's a diploma, let's make this easy, now go home. That's really what it is. You give them a check for $200,000, they give you a diploma. Your kid don't even have to show up. Come on, you know that's the deal. It's a social breeding ground for crap. It's your kid's last fling, your first fling, and your last fling. It's 4 years of a bachelor party. Who's trying to kid whom? I want my kid to go to the best school possible. Why? Why? Why the best school possible? What are you talking about? When you go to your doctor, do you demand to see the diplomas? You're a very good doctor, but I need to see your diploma. Do you get upset if they didn't go to Harvard or something? No. They went to Biloxi, Mississippi dental school. Good enough for me. Good enough for me. If you got the balls to stick your fingers in my mouth, it's good enough for me. Who are we trying to kid? Why do we try to kid ourselves all the time? I'm going to skip a subject matter and go to Donald Trump. He's the president of the United States, and I don't know how that happened. As you know, there was a journalist that was apparently brutally murdered by the Saudi government. Now, it's a question as to whether that actually, the guy is missing. He was probably murdered, but who did it, we don't know. Donald Trump loves the Saudis, says that they're an important ally. I mean, technically, politically, they are. They are still horrible people. They were involved in 9/11. Hello. Anyway, that being said, Trump is just not, he's doing the Kavanaugh thing. He's just not admitting that there was any wrongdoing here. And one might think, well, Donald, why do you stand on the side of the Saudis so much? Well, there's a reason for that, and it's an obvious reason. Donald Trump is owned by the people he does business with. You should have never elected a president that does business with other countries, because the conflict of interest thing is through the roof. Donald Trump makes a lot of money off of Saudi Arabia and the Saudis. No? Listen to this. This was during Trump's campaign, coming out of his own mouth.
Saudi Arabia, and I get along great with all of them. They buy apartments from me, they spend $40 million, $50 million. Am I supposed to dislike them? I like them very much. I love the Saudis. Many are in this building. Saudi Arabia, I like the Saudis. They're very nice. I make a lot of money with them. They buy all sorts of my stuff. All kinds of toys from Trump. They pay me millions and hundreds of millions.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's the president admitting to you with his own mouth why he loves the Saudis. They give him a lot of money. Personally. In his pocket. In his freaking pocket. That's why he loves the Saudis so much. That's the guy you chose, man. That's the guy you chose. I'm just saying. I didn't make that up. That's not fake news. You just heard his voice say it. Donald Trump's only response would be, well, that wasn't me. I didn't say that. That was some impersonator. No, you stood up in front of the crowd and that's what you said. And the crowd still voted you in. Let's vote in a guy that has connections to these weird countries. Admits that he takes their money, puts it in their pocket. He loves the Saudis. Many of them are in the building today. It's like that's an incredible revelation. I love the Jews. Many Jews are in the city that I live in. I see. That's how you get along with them so well. It's almost funny. Only it's not. See, that's the problem. It's not really that funny. Also, I always consider somebody somewhat demented when they refer to themselves in the manner of they buy a lot of Trump stuff. You're Trump, you know? Trump loves them. No, you're Trump. You can't phrase it that way. That's demented. Ron says it's demented. What? What are you talking about? Sometimes I have to pinch myself and wonder if I'm actually, if this nightmare just doesn't stop, what is it? Has this entire country just gone down the toilet? I knew that recording would come in handy someday. Oh! Right, take it easy. It's not that funny. We have an interesting interview coming up just a little bit later in the program. Thank you for being so sophisticated and being the kind of people that you are.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke.
It's true. It's true. It's very, very true. I love to be sophisticated. I try to be sophisticated, even though I'm not. Well, maybe I am. I might be more sophisticated than you are. I try to be sophisticated. I wish I had a British accent naturally, so I didn't have to put it on. And I would just go out through my life and just act sophisticated. And people would stop in their tracks and go, there's a sophisticated man. I want to be known for being sophisticated.
Well, thank you very much, Johnny. Thank you very much. I do subscribe to that thought pattern because it really makes no sense not to be. Yesterday I went for a walk on the path, down the path, and I saw many, many flowers, and I communed with nature in a way that nobody else really can. And then I sat down and I built a little birdhouse for the little birds, and I stood there in my tweed jacket and my ascot, sipping on a snifter of brandy, and watched the birds fly around and realized that this is nothing but a monumental time in my life.
Well, I don't know what I just said, but it was sophisticated. All of a sudden, people listen to you. Did you hear that guy? I don't know what the hell he said, but that was sophisticated. The guy had a tweed jacket. Give me a break. Listen to him. Yeah, that's the way it really is. That's the way it really is, my friends. Oh, man. I wish I was running for office in a way, and then in a way I wish I wasn't, and I'm not, so I don't have to wish I wasn't. I would make a great candidate. You know why? Because I wouldn't commit to one party or another. Here's what I would do. I'd say, I'm running as a Democrat, but not. I'm not running as a Democrat, but I'm running as a Democrat. Well, what do you mean, Ron? Well, here's this thing. I want to hear ideas from both sides. We're all going to sit down. We're going to talk it out. And we're going to find common ground. And those are the things that we're going to make happen. The things on which we find common ground. And if we don't have common ground, damn it, we're going to look for it. Both sides will participate in everything. Do I have beliefs? Yes, I do. Am I going to invoke my beliefs on everything? No, I won't, because I want to listen to both sides. And when we listen, we become productive. Well, everybody would vote for me. Everybody would vote for me. They say, Ron, I'm sick of this left stuff, and I'm sick of this right stuff, and this middle of non-committalness. But Ron, we love your theory. Both sides sit down and they talk out everything. I love that, Ron. I love that about you. You're my man. I want you to be president. Well, thank you very much, but I can't be president because I am too freaking lazy. I would be the president that never got out of bed. I would take care of things from my bed. Not that I'm bedridden. I just love my bed. Give me my bed, a television set, and a snuggly dog, and I am set. I am good. It's all I want. Become your president? That's up to you. Expect anything from me? That's a different story. Because we're going to work together. Do you know why we're going to work together? Because I'm too lazy to do it myself. And thank God I'm too lazy to do it for myself. Otherwise, we'd all be in tremendous trouble. Do you find that to be crazy?
Crazy. First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy. If you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
We're joined by author Jim Lindsay, maybe a familiar name to you because he wrote The Little Bastards, which is a highly acclaimed novel about the 1950s and racing and pining for women and all that kind of stuff. Jim, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So, Jim, so you write the first book, and what made you revisit for a second? Was this always the plan?
There really wasn't a plan. The first book... was the first five was 5 years in these boys' lives. There's mm-hmm. five boys, and it starts out in 1954. So at the end of the first book, we get them out of high school.
Right.
The first book is their pre-teenage lives up through all these chemical. Everything changes mm-hmm. during those years in your life.
Yeah.
So this first book set up a situation at the end of the book that we needed to find out what happened afterwards.
Were people saying to you, were readers saying, we want to find out what happens? Or, I mean, I assume that when you wrote the first book, you intentionally said, okay, that's the end of the first book.
It was the end of the first book.
Yeah.
It's actually, this is going to be a three-book series. There'll be a third one. But the second one is, it's called Swerve, and mm-hmm. the reason for the name Swerve is because anybody that's graduated from high school or maybe didn't graduate, walked out the door,
yeah.
they'll tell you that everything changes. You may think you're going to be a dentist or a nurse or a fireman or whatever mm-hmm. that day when you walk out that door,
mm-hmm.
and 2 weeks later you might be in the army or in jail. Or
you don't know. You also picture the woman that you're going to marry or what you're going to do with your personal life or the kind of home you're going to have, and that doesn't usually work out either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is in the 50s, mm-hmm. and this is the first decade following World War II
yep.
and the Great Depression.
The baby boomers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're this is a different time. The 50s kind of have gotten lost. You know, they had a Korean War, but nobody mm-hmm. remembers about. But the 60s, we had the Vietnam War, and we had Elvis, we had the hippies and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, in the 50s, I was at a very impressionable age. I was
mm-hmm.
from 8 to 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching these older kids, and my dad had a farm, and he hired these kids that would come to work,
mm-hmm.
and they were in their teenage years to early 20s, and they would roll in with these chopped down Fords,
yep.
and they had hair like Elvis, and Elvis was on the radio. Everything stopped when Elvis
yeah.
came on the radio.
Yeah.
Okay, and we had a new Buick in the garage, and my mom had mm-hmm. a new automatic washing machine. We got our first TV,
ooh.
And everything was cool.
Yeah,
everything was just, and so I thought, these boys need a word in about themselves, and
mm-hmm.
but people who are at any age can relate to these books because we all went through that period of our time growing up.
Yeah.
I got a postcard from a guy from France who had read the first book, and he said it was just like my hometown. You
yeah.
know, so it can appeal to everybody.
Yeah, it does. Now, the connection between the cars, which were big deals back then, certainly, the connection between the cars and the girls, there was a plight by these characters to impress the girls. Was it, what was the relationship between the guys and cars and the guys and girls?
A magnet.
Okay.
No, I don't know if there's really an answer to that. Americans have always been obsessed with cars. It's
yeah.
it's that independence, and it's your badge. And when I was in school, this would be probably not correct to say something politically correct now, but back then, if you or a new kid came to town,
yeah.
First thing you say, well, what kind of cars he drive?
Yeah, yeah.
So he was known. One day he could be driving his mom's Nash Rambler,
yeah.
and next day shows up in a Corvette.
Yeah,
he's a new guy.
Yeah.
Okay, then the girls notice that, and so we thought at the time, if we just had that car,
yeah.
because you're so just girls when you were a. When you were still on your bicycle,
yeah.
you had girls you played marbles with and rolled in the dirt with. And then all of a sudden, one summer goes by and you go, this girl, she's gone. She's
yeah.
from another planet.
Yeah.
She's changed,
yeah.
you know. So we didn't know what to do.
Interesting. Yeah, cars now, I mean, kids get cars when they reach age, but I don't think it has as much an effect as in that time. And people worked on their cars and polished it. I don't see kids polishing their cars. It's different,
well,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. In 1960, about the end of the first book and the start of the second book, things were changing, and Detroit got into the hot rod business.
Sure.
They saw what was going on. Well, up until about 1960, 62, you had to build your own car if you wanted a hot rod.
Right.
Well, after that, you could just get a job in a mill somewhere and the next Monday be driving a Impala with a four-speed.
Yeah. Okay.
And you'd have, of course, you'd have a payment book.
Yeah. Wow. So this book takes off where the other book left, and so certainly readers of the first book will find this fascinating. What if one hadn't read the first book first? Can you get into it with the second, or should we go back and read the whole deal?
You can. The second one will stand alone.
Good.
What happened? The way I changed went from the first story to the second story was a newspaper article, and so this newspaper article that the narrator Sonny Mitchell reads.
Yes.
In the first of the book, it explains what happened in the second, in the first book. So,
yeah.
So by reading that, then you're hooked up and you're going, and then the second book has three plots.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is he almost destroyed his car in the first one, saving this girl's life.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to rebuild the car. And a hot dog new kid comes to town, and so there's a real competition there.
Mm-hmm.
The second plot is a love story, because he falls in love with this girl in the first book that he saved.
Yep.
Okay, her dad's a banker, and he's a white-collar guy, and Sonny Mitchell, our guy, he's a blue-collar kid, so this is not working out very good. So this is a love story. The third plot, to get Marilyn's father over to his side, he accidentally figures out that the bank is financing the sawmill, which is in trouble, and Sonny has to solve the mystery.
Wow.
And all this stuff happens right at the very last.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it.
You should be.
I'm getting a lot of nice reviews.
Excellent.
The first book went over very well. It's all over the country, all over the world.
I mean, you're absolutely right. It's a time of life where everything happens in the rest of your life. Rest of your life, not so much. But everything.
Yeah, the rest of your life, you deal with it.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it seems like the for 3-4 years, everything happened. You discover everything. Everything happens. Everything's a first. It's really an incredible part of life, and it shapes you for the whole thing. And that period of time that you're talking about in the 50s there, that was the first for many technologies and many, as you say, television and all that stuff. So it was just a compound of first stuff. Are you Sonny Mitchell?
Pardon me?
Are you Sonny Mitchell?
You know, you're going to find yourself in this book, and you're going to find your friends. The friends that you made in high school are lifetime friends.
Yeah.
I don't care if you ever see them again.
Yeah.
They just are. And so these five boys and their girls, there's girls in these books.
Yeah.
And you'll say, oh, well, that was Susie, or that was... It's a little like American
Graffiti,
you know.
I got you.
You can relate to them. Yeah,
very similar, So everybody's got a little Sonny Mitchell in them.
Yeah, a little bit of Sonny Mitchell.
A little bit of Sonny Mitchell. The guys do, certainly. The girl. If the girl said that, that means something else. okay. The book is, it's fascinating. It's called Swerve, The Little Bastards, Book 2. And, of course, you can always pick up the first book as well. I assume it's available on Amazon and all outlets?
Absolutely. You can get it. Go to my website. It's Jim Lindsay, and that's Lindsay, author.com. And you'll see how to get both books, my life story, and how I happened to be was able to do this. Because when you write, you really kind of have to know what you're writing about.
Yeah. Great talking to you. We'll talk in the future when book 3 comes out, huh?
Yes, let's do that.
You got
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well. This has been an experience that I will never forget. Well, I shouldn't say never forget. I think it'll last like 10 minutes, which is good. That's good. I'm up 3 minutes because things usually only last 7 minutes for me, so this is pretty cool. Hey, I went to a movie. I saw over the weekend a movie called The First Man, which is not biblical. It's about the first man to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong. It was 2 hours, 2.5 hours long, and I don't do anything for 2.5 hours at all. I don't even sleep 2.5 hours a day. So that was an accomplishment. I walked out of the movie theater not saying to myself, that was a really good film. I walked out of the movie theater saying to myself, wow, I sat there for 2.5 hours. That is impressive. That's the kind of stuff that impresses me about myself. I sat there for 2.5 hours. It's amazing. That's my lasting impression of the entire experience. Well, thank you for sitting through this. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Why don't we make an appointment, like a dental appointment, to spend some time together tomorrow at any time during the day. It doesn't have to be morning, afternoon, evening, whatever you want. I'm always here. That's the thing. I'm always here. I'm always like one click away. Sometimes you have to double click, and I don't understand that. Why would you have to double click if you already clicked? Like, are you confirming your click? What's the point of that? Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.